It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In studying the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and chapter 6, we look at the husband, the wife, and the children. And right now, I'd like for us to look in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 3. You know, sometimes we as parents, we get the idea that we own our children. We get the idea that they are ours. But that's not true. Psalm 127 and verse 3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Well, we really don't own our children. Now, that may come as a shock to you, but stop and think about it. We do not own anyone. We are bought with a price once we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. And the Bible says we're not our own, that we belong to the Lord. And so do children. Children belong to the Lord. So when we deal with our children, we need to deal with them as someone who belongs to the Savior, someone who belongs to God. Therefore, we need to treat our children as we would want God to treat us. So we are good to our children. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Well, why should that be done? Verse 3 answers that, "That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Well, I've already talked about living long, quoting Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. And in verse 3, we see that not only is the admonition about living long, it's not only found in the Old Testament, but this admonition about living long is also found in the New Testament. Well, why is this? Well, this is because the entire Bible is the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." See, all Scripture means both Old and New Testaments. Some people believe that we should even read the Old Testament, that the New Testament is all we need today. Well, the New Testament does tell us how that we can go to heaven, and how that Jesus Christ died for us on the cross of Calvary. He was buried, and he rose on the third day. But you see, the Old Testament scriptures also tell us about things that about Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, once again, 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture would include the Old Testament and the New Testament. When Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16 says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Remember our verse in verse 3 of Ephesians 6, it says, "That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Honor thy father and thy mother. Ephesians 6, 2 says, well, we read the same thing primarily in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. Well, why should we honor parents? Why should parents be honored? Why should the mother and father be honored? Verse 3 says, "That it may be well with thee." We see, this is actually a byproduct of doing what is right. This is found in the fifth commandment, as recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. Once again, it talks about the same thing that the book of Ephesians is talking about, honoring father and mother. Well, the whole commandment, as recorded there in Deuteronomy 5:16, means that children can be happier, useful, and virtuous if they obey their parents rather than if they disobey them. Notice the verse says, "That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Well, in the commandment, as recorded in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, the promise is that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Well, this is referred to referring to the promised land, the land of Canaan, for the Israelites. And the meaning, doubtless, is that there would be a special divine intervention to those who were obedient to parents, meaning length of days, long life. We see this has been long regarded as a great blessing. And this blessing was promised not by man, but by God himself. Well, the apostle here, Apostle Paul, gives to the promise a more general form and says obedience to parents was connected at all times with long life. It's not something new. Now, we can look at what the scriptures say, and we can say, based on the scriptures, that long life is a blessing. It allows a longer time to prepare for eternity. God is so good to us. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That doesn't mean just a few. That means everybody has an opportunity to trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Every person in this world has an opportunity to let the Lord take them to heaven. Every person in this world has an opportunity to change their mind and say, "I'm not going to go my way any longer. I've decided to go God's way." And that way is to trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, God is so good to us. He gives us time. He gives us time so that we can trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. You see, long life is not only a blessing. It enables a man to be more useful for the Lord. And it provides a longer opportunity to study the works of God while we are here on this earth. It's not improper to desire longer life. We should make use of all the means in our power to lengthen our days and to preserve and protect our lives. I talk to so many people, they get up in years and they say, "I don't know why God's leaving me here. I don't know why I just can't go on home to be with the Lord." And my answer usually is this: well, God's not finished with you. When he's ready for you to come home, to go to heaven, he'll let you know and he'll take you there. But as long as you're here, you're to be in service to the Lord. And many times the answer is, "Well, I can't even get out of my home. I can't do much." Well, let me say this: you can do a lot. You can pray. You can ask God to help other individuals in this life. You can pray for salvation for, first of all, your loved ones. And then you can pray for salvation for those people that come into contact with you. Maybe someone has mentioned to you that they have a loved one who needs to be saved. Well, now, your prayer is not going to save anyone, but you can get God's attention. You can get the Lord's attention, and the Holy Spirit can deal with that individual's heart. And possibly and prayerfully, that prayer of yours will be responsible for touching the heart of God, and in turn, he will touch the heart of that individual you're praying for, and prayerfully, once again, that person would respond favorably and ask Jesus Christ to save them. Well, we get back looking at the children and parents here, and if a parent is morally upright, that parent will not command his child to be a drunkard, a gambler, a spendthrift, a pirate, or a murderer. And this, in turn, could result in a long life for the child of that parent. You see, obedience to parents is connected with virtuous habits that are favorable to long life. It will make a child industrious, temperate, serious, and it will lead him to restrain and govern his wild passions. It will lead him to form habits of self-control, which will, in future life, save him from the snares of vice and temptation. Now, once again, the parent needs to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If that parent does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, sometimes that parent will encourage that child to do wrong things, but that's wrong. We should never encourage someone to do something wrong or sin because it goes against what God stands for. He's a moral God. He's a holy God. And he would never instruct a parent or a child to do something wrong. Well, many a life is lost early by disobeying a parent. Remember, we read there that so that life would be long, so that the life of the child could be prolonged as they listen to the parent and as they obey. Many times a child who disobeys a father and becomes the companion of the wicked, we see that his character can be marred forever. But we can still believe that God, in his goodness, will watch over those who are obedient to a father and mother. If he regards a falling sparrow, according to Matthew 10:29, he will not be unmindful of an obedient child. If he numbers the hairs of the head, according to Matthew 10:30, he will not disregard the little boy that honors him by obeying father and mother. Now let's look at verse 4 of Ephesians 6, where it says, "And," now here we go with fathers, "and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Notice here, "and ye fathers." See, there is a definite command given in this verse directed to fathers. And this is because they are at the head of the family, and they have the responsibility of having the oversight of the family as the leader. Now, the object of the Apostle Paul here is to show parents that their commands should be such that they can be easily obeyed, or such as are entirely reasonable and proper. If children are required to obey, it's only reasonable that the commands of the parent should be such commands that can be obeyed, or such commands that the child will not be discouraged in his or her attempt to obey. And what Paul says in this verse is in agreement with what he said in Ephesians 5:22-25. And I'd like to read those verses. Now, we've gone over that in our study, but I'd like to read those verses again. Ephesians 5:22-25. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Well, these verses, Ephesians 5:22-25, they speak of the relation between the husband and the wife. And it was when Paul wrote the epistle to the church at Ephesus that he said the duty of the wife is to obey. And at the same time, it was the related to the duty of the husband to show such a character that it would be pleasant to yield to obedience by the wife. See, the husband was so to love his wife that his wishes, the decision he makes known, would be backed up by the wife. So we see in like manner, it is the duty of children to obey a parent. It's the duty of a parent to exhibit such a character and to maintain such leadership that it would be proper for the child to obey. The child would actually be following the example set by the father and mother. Parents are not to command children to do anything that is unreasonable or improper, but to train up that child, their children, in the ways of virtue and by the way of God. Trust Jesus today as your Lord and Savior. If you know him, serve him today.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.